you, sir. Okay, Mr. Paxton, you appear before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir. Would you please state your full name and your ADC number for us for the record?
My name is Frank Paxton, and my ADC number is 031469.
Okay, Mr. Claxton, I'm going to introduce you to the board members this morning that will be conducting your hearing. To my far left, to your right, is the Honorable Luis Quinones. Coming down the line is the Honorable David Neal. In the middle, you have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chair. To my immediate left is Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. My name is Michael Johnson, sir. I am going to be acting as your panel lead this morning, okay?
Okay.
Mr. Claxton, I'm going to go over some information with you. I also do want to say that there are some victims' representatives here. Also, there's an assistant here for the Attorney General's Office for the State of Arizona. If you want to come up, you're more than welcome. Or...
Actually, I'm not.
Okay.
I am an assistant attorney, but I'm not representing the Attorney General's office.
Your Honor, okay. Mr. Johnson, I believe you're referring to. Thank you.
I do understand that there are some victim witnesses here as supporters as well as supporters here for you, Mr. Claxton. I am going to go over some.
One moment. Somebody lost somebody. Okay, we're going to try it again, sir. Let's see what happened this time.
Can you hear us, Mr. Claxton? Mr. Claxton?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, all right. I'm just going to say for the record, we had some technical difficulty, had a disconnection, and the system. We're now back on the system and getting ready to go ahead and continue the actual hearing. Mr. Claxton, you are here appearing before this board for absolute discharge. Regular parole or home arrest. Is that your understanding, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You are currently serving a two life sentences that are running concurrent to each other. Both of them for aggravated assault. They are sentences that started after you were serving a 16-plus year sentence for possession and sale of narcotics. You were on parole at the time that this incident actually originally occurred. Is that right, sir? Okay. So according to your institutional progress report, it says that you will live with your sister on her property at a residence at 8047 South 2nd Street in Phoenix. Her name is Kathleen C. Holder. Have a phone number here for her. Say that you will be receiving SSI and food stamps and plan on doing landscaping and selling used wooden pellets around the Phoenix area to help support yourself. That you will have the support from your sister, your brother-in-law, along with some other information that we have here, supporters that you have listed here in your file, sir. It also states that you have completed some programming, which includes cultural diversity, conflict resolution, thinking for a change, conflict resolution, and then you're out on parole where you talk more, which helps with addiction. So have you been in any programs since you've been back in? Okay. Okay. So, sir, I see that you have no discipline over the last 5 years, but I do want to acknowledge that you were out on parole and you were rearrested for a parole violation just prior to having an opportunity to appear for this board for an absolute discharge. You were placed on home arrest in September of 2013, and then in October of 2014, you received regular parole, and then it looks like in 2017, August of 2017, you actually had your parole revoked. Is that about right, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, I'm not going to throw, you know, through the incidents. This actually involved an incident that you were arrested on, which involved the sale of some narcotic drugs, and the drugs were sold to undercover police officer. At the time that you were arrested, they came in to do extreme reverse buy, and there was two other subjects involved. They were arrested, and according to the information that I have in the pre-sentence report, that after they were arrested, you weren't with them. You took off running, and as you were running, there was two undercover police officers that were chasing you who were not in uniform, and apparently, allegedly, you turned around and you pointed a gun at them. Is that about right? And is that about right, sir? Okay. So, since you've been back incarcerated, you had your parole revoked, sir, tell me and this board a little bit about your life and what's been going on with you since you've been back incarcerated, sir.
Well, I was at
sir, then we're going to hear from the attorney and the victim representatives that we actually have here with us today, sir. So I do have a list that's here, and I'm not sure by this list who are supporters and who are here with the victim. I have is it Jardine?
Jordan.
Okay, Jordan. What's that last name?
Raimondo,
you are with the Attorney General's office?
Correct.
And you are representing the victim, is that correct?
Correct?
Okay. And then you have Mr. Carl Engelstein is representing.
Right.
Okay. Richard Claxton, you're here. Is Richard Claxton is there. John Todd?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, you're here for the Mr. Claxton. David Campbell?
He was here on board.
Okay. There's a name I can't really, is this, could be Kathy Party?
Kathy Poker.
Okay, I couldn't, it was really fancy. Okay, and Craig? Okay, so you're here for Mr. Claxton?
Yes,
Okay, so I'm not going to pick out the order that we have here, so I'm going to just leave it up to whoever wants to come up first and speak. Just come up to the mic, state your full name, present any information that you'd like to present to the board.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is John Todd. I'm here in my individual capacity. I do happen to be an assistant attorney general, but I don't represent the office in this appearance. And my initial involvement with the case is I was the prosecutor who ran the sting operation and who ended up taking Mr. Claxton to trial and prosecuting him for Judge Thompson. And that was some 30 years ago. I have been a prosecutor for over 40 years. I have some insight into the criminal justice system, its pluses and minuses. My biggest reason for being here is, unlike the last case where two people died, in this case, nobody was injured. There was no violence other than Mr. Claxton pointing a gun at two undercover police officers. And I, having been a prosecutor and thinking of fairness, it seemed to me that 25 years was certainly adequate punishment for those actions. And I was prepared to testify that at his hazard discharge hearing that was scheduled a number of times and kept getting continued. I had contact with Mr. Claxton. He had called me because his girlfriend had some sort of civil legal problem. That was what caused me get me in contact with Mr. Claxton. I couldn't help him, of course, because of my job. But in the course of that, developed a relationship where I felt comfortable with being with Mr. Claxton. I felt he had changed. He did, I was aware that he did get involved with his girlfriend, who was involved in a child custody case involving kid, I think it was about 11 years old, George, and the case itself was one of those family affairs that, you know, just sort of builds on it. I had encouraged Mr. Claxton, couldn't they all sit down and just lose all of it, but they couldn't. Apparently, the child's mother has some issues. Her daughter is an attorney. Wife of the person who spoke against Mr. Claxton at his parole hearing violation. I can totally understand where these two attorneys felt that the son George would be much better in their care than in the care of this girlfriend who apparently has some issues and who, a felon. As far as I know, all Mr. Claxton did was try to help his girlfriend with some legal work, having developed some legal skills while in prison. I know I've never heard him talk of any sort of violence towards anybody. Never heard him speak ill of trying to do anything to anybody. I did happen to read the warrant that was the reason for his arrest, and it didn't make sense to me because, according to the warrant, the person who claimed that Mr. Claxton was going to do something said he was there to warn a family that he was going to do something, but nothing ever transpired. Nothing, no one knows whether he was telling the truth or anything more about it. So, but this whole, the thing that prompted his revocation, his arrest, was the day before the custody trial. So I just feel that he has served his time. If he had done anything, and he was not on parole, it's not a type of situation. What was alleged is not something that the criminal justice system would be interested in. I think he certainly deserves another chance on the outside. I can answer any questions. Yes, sir.
Yes, first of all, sir, I'm just saying this as an independent voting board member. I do admire your personal integrity in taking a position on this case, so to speak. So I'm going to ask you, as the original prosecutor, did you feel that a 25-year-to-life sentence was appropriate then, and have you changed your worldview now?
My worldview has probably become less hardened now than it was, you know, 30-some years ago. But at that time, the criminal justice system was set up, so the judge had no choice but to give him that sentence.
And I should have qualified. I know I'm just asking you for an opinion here. So.
Sure. Sure.
But I appreciate your candor.
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir. Who's next?
Kathy Motor, and I am Richard's sister. I guess I'd like to say, first of all, thank you very much for listening to this again. I sent a letter, and I think you probably have that in your record, stating that Richard is going to be staying with us. My husband and I have a piece of property in South Phoenix that's about 4 acres, and on that property we have 3 homes. 2 that we've rented out, and then the one that we live in. So that's why I think in the letter I put 2 addresses. So I think the thing that I want to say more than anything is I remember Richard before he went to prison and how he was, the times that he was home. And I was, Richard was about 10 years. I want to say a little bit more, but there's about 10 years difference between us. And all I remember from being his younger sister from years ago is he didn't seem like a very happy, friendly person. He was kind of scary. Sorry, Richard. But since he's been out this last time, it's totally different. He listens, his talking, his sentences, you can comprehend what he's saying. He's very calm compared to what he used to be. And so I feel very comfortable having him be at our house and living with us and my husband and I and our friends doing anything that we can to help him. I want to see him enjoy the rest of his life. I hope he doesn't have to stay in prison. That's all. Does anyone have any questions for me?
Any questions? No, ma'am. Thank you
very much.
Who wants to be next?
Good morning. My name is Craig Lambert, and I'm here to speak on behalf of the support of Richard Claxton. I feel that he is being wrongfully held. based on what I have researched, that a 12F violation does not constitute reincarceration. It was not proven that he had third-party contact with anyone. The person in which the victim claims to have made third-party contact is not the person that stated it is. It's someone completely unrelated, so I don't understand. Well, to me, it's hearsay. But as far as a character representative or character witness, Richard has grown a lot from his experience over the years. And he is a very kind man and would never inflict harm onto anyone. He has absolutely learned a lot since his prior release. And it's just unfortunate that he is in the situation that he is now, and I feel that his time has been served, and it would be due process for him to be released and to let him get back into society and live a normal life. Any questions?
Mr. Lambert, what was your relationship to Mr. Claxton?
I'm a personal friend.
Okay, thank you, sir. Are there any additional questions?
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Just come up to the mic and state your name, sir, and go ahead and present what information.
My name is David Campbell, and I'm a personal friend of Richard's. Probably, we're going on 3 years, maybe a little more. As far as his character, Richard's not a violent man. This whole thing that has come about for him is based on lies. We've shown the evidence. I'm not sure Richard's even had his evidentiary hearing here with the pro board, although I think it's been said that he had, but I've never seen it. I really have nothing bad to say about Richard. He just shouldn't be where he's at right now. That's it.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Romano?
If the board would let the victim speak first, and then I'd let him follow, please.
Okay. All right, Mr. Engelson?
Thank you, esteemed board members. My name is Carl Ekstrand. I'm here today for the third time to again plead not to release this career criminal back into society. My family has become a target of his and his friends. Still to this day, he is a danger to society. He's a danger to my family. He is a scary person. My family was scared of him before his reincarceration. My family would be scared again if he was released. In January of 2017, he began his harassment. In February 2017, we applied for and received an injunction against harassment against Richard Claxton. He requested a hearing at which the judge upheld it. In June of 2017, we filed a police report after multiple calls and voicemails to a minor child under my care. And then in June of 2015, after a man showing up at my house, his parole officer violated Mr. Claxton and sent him back to prison. But that's not the end of it. This saga continues to this day. You heard from Craig Lambert, David Campbell. We're still actively, as of September of this year, contacted the minor child with no authorization and no approval. We applied for injunctions against harassment against them.
Excuse me,
sir.
That's not relevant to this. We're not talking about me or
the
family.
Sir, I'm going to have to ask you to remain silent, just as give you the same respect when you have the opportunity to speak, sir. I'm going to ask you to give those who speak before you or after you the same respect, okay?
They applied for hearings. At the hearings, the judge upheld both injunctions against harassment. Mr. Claxton's girlfriend. Next month, we have a hearing for, see whether her direct contact constitutes a violation of the criminal plea bargain she accepted for criminal contempt of court. This is the support system that you have released him to. This is a much different support system from what you saw in the prior hearing. A loving family who have made sure that he does not reoffend. Released to this system, which he continues contact with, they posted a letter online that he wrote just a little while ago. I have copies here if the board would like them. Will be an environment inherent to his reoffense. This is not a danger just to society at large, but to my family, who is a target here still. I ask the board, please do not release him. He is eligible for hearing every 12 months instead of 6. Not only do I ask for his non-release, but for the board to set out his hearing 12 months. So do not have to come and speak to this, which is nerve-wracking, every 6 months. Thank you.
So what is the current status, and has there been any contact from Mr. Claxton?
Since his incarceration, Mr. Claxton has not been able to contact my family or myself.
Okay. And when you say there's the danger, a threat from Mr. Lambert or Mr. Campbell, can you expound on that a little bit more so I can have an understanding of what you're saying?
After contacting a minor in my household, we applied for injunctions against harassment from them.
Okay.
And those were approved. After a hearing, they were upheld. It goes to show the group that he will be released to. It's still active. It's still targeting my family. I do not believe that his release would be into a positive environment conducive to a non-offense. I believe that it would be back into the same mentality that caused him to be put back in jail in the first place.
So my question is that there was allegedly contact, which we don't know, made to a minor child in your residence, as you said. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so can you explain to me what the actual threat or danger to your family is? I'm just trying to understand that.
The danger to my family is that since Mr. Claxton has been reincarcerated, their abilities have deteriorated. I see him as the enforcer of the group. And if he was released, he would go back to that same group and that same position. I do not see him changing his stripes. He hasn't made a new group of friends. He has not moved on. If you like, I have copies of the police report from Richards, contact with the minor, copies of the letter that he wrote that they posted online, and copies of the injunction against harassment, both against Mr. Claxton and Mr. Lambert and Mr. Campbell, if you need that proof. Otherwise, I just implore the board. The situation has not changed from when he was first reincarcerated. We are still in the same place, and his release would again put us in harm's way.
So, I'm just going to ask one more time. When you say to put you in harm's way, how is it putting you in harm's way? I'm trying to understand. I mean, I'm not hearing that there was a particular threat or something that was done to threaten the family other than the custody and the contact with the minor child in your family. Was there a threat to the minor child? Was there an indication or something, or was it just communication with the minor child?
And I apologize for not speaking clearly enough to the question. Mr. Claxton was reincarcerated after, and like they said, the day before a family court matter, a very disheveled man came up to my house and said that he was in part of the group with Mr. Claxton's girlfriend, as well as himself, and that Mr. Claxton and his girlfriend wanted him to do something to derail the trial scheduled for the next day, and that this was a threat. I took it seriously, as I think any reasonable person would, knowing the background of Mr. Claxton and his associates. I still have the video from my security cameras, as well as the still photos of this event. If he was to be out again, he would be part of the same group where this happened to me last time. My statement to the parole officer should be in the original packet from the original hearing about a year ago. This goes to show the MO of the group that Mr. Claxton is part of and will be released back to. I do not see that his release would be conducive to living in society. I think that we're still in the same place we were before, and that the environment would inherently lead to his reoffense. And I again implore the board not to release this man back into society, but instead to set out his hearing for 12 months.
Okay, thank you, sir. Let me set the board. Mr. Neal.
Yes, sir. Who is named as victims on your orders against harassment?
For Mr. Claxton, it's myself, my wife, and the minor in our custody, George Cabinus, against.
Okay, so all three of you are listed on the order against harassment, correct?
Yes, sir.
And, so it's basic order against harassment, no contact or anything else like that, correct?
No contact of any kind.
Okay. I'm just, basic details there. So Mr. Claxton violated that order of harassment, correct?
Multiple times.
Okay. And you filed a police report for him?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and what does the police do with those reports?
They take the reports, they investigate. The final police report said that they closed the case because he was then reincarcerated, citing that they reached out to him for a statement and he declined to give a police statement, so they closed the case.
So he was reincarcerated before they could investigate and make a determination whether or not they were going to pass it on to the prosecutor, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I think it goes to...
So, even after Mr. Johnson asked you a couple of times, I still don't want to... I understand that you're concerned about continued harassment.
Yes, sir.
But at no time in anything we've heard so far, is there any kind of a threat that you've mentioned? I mean, even when I've gotten one from his, when he was violated, is sketchy at best as to whether there is a threat. And because normally a lot of threat is for of some type of harm, not harassment, making you have a bad day or something like that. I mean, I used to deal with order protection and work against harassment and, putting together the evidence for them and that. And I will say I've seen very consistently two sides using those to manipulate the other side. And in a case like this, it's hard to substantiate a lot of the claims of harassment. Okay, so I'm just trying to get this straight in my mind because a life sentence for violating a court order is pretty, is awfully extreme. So, okay, well, thank you, sir. I don't have any further questions.
Sir, if I may, in my mind, the life sentence was for his prior conviction of holding a gun on a Phoenix police officer. He was given a chance to re-enter society. He had failed that chance. I'm simply asking that he does not receive another chance to again fail because he's going back into the same environment which failed him before.
Okay, I understand what you're saying.
Okay. There are no questions on the board.
Yes, just a question. Sir, you said a couple of times the same group, but who's this group that you're talking about who's supporting Mr. Cressler? Who's that sir. Group, sir?
That group comprises Laura Cadmus, as well as the two gentlemen that testified today, Craig Lambert and David Campbell, both of whom, again, this is not something I'm making up. This was 2 months ago that...
For time management purposes, do you have any proof that they are the ones?
That?
They are the ones who comprising that group that's against you, that's coming after you and your family?
I have the injunctions against harassment that I have been...
But what about this email, whatever you call it, that you sent? Do you have any proof that was sent by them? How did it get...
Yes, sir, if I may approach.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Your Honor, I just handed you a two-page handwritten letter by Mr. Claxton to, I believe, David Campbell while he's been incarcerated. It is very hard to read due to the lighting of the photograph. However, you can clearly see in the beginning he announced himself as Richard Claxton, as well as throughout it, especially on page 2, detailing his continued involvement and participation and desire to be part of this group that does not like my family and that we are continually recording this. I apologize for the clarity of the letter itself.
I understand. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, sir. I don't have any more questions. Thank you. No, sir. No, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning to the board and just certainly. My name is Jordan Raimondo, and I'm Assistant Attorney General in the Criminal Division of the AG's office. I'm here today on behalf of the office to object to the release of Richard Claxton. I am not here today to advocate that he should remain in prison for the rest of his life, but rather to suggest that at this particular time it would not be most appropriate to release Mr. Claxton. I'm not going to belabor his criminal history because I think he in some ways has moved on from that. However, what is most concerning to the AG's office and to me as a prosecutor is Mr. Claxton's choice to insert himself in the child custody matter of his girlfriend, Laura Cadmus, and to not do so in the way that he represented to Mr. Todd as someone giving legal advice, because as Mr. Claxton proclaims in several documents I've seen in his profile, he has had time to study the law. But instead, he chose to insert himself as a menacing presence in this family's life. He chose to make inappropriate contact with them via the phone, in person, and in violation of orders against harassment. I understand that that was the basis for his revocation a year ago, but like the victim has just told you, nothing has changed. This case is ongoing. In fact, the criminal contempt case is being prosecuted by another attorney general in my section, and it is set for a hearing next month. In the letter that the victim referred to, Mr. Claxton still expresses the same interest in being involved in this child custody matter and now these contempt proceedings that are still ongoing. So at this time, it does not appear that he has learned the error of his ways, that he has accepted responsibility and expressed remorse for the reason of his previous revocation and has learned to move on. Should that day come forward in the future, perhaps in 6 months or a year, the issue really should be revisited. But at this time, with these proceedings ongoing and these contentious proceedings happening, it doesn't appear to be appropriate. I give great deference to Mr. Todd, but he does not have the insight about the inner workings of this criminal proceeding, this contempt proceeding, and these child custody proceedings that the victim has or that the assigned AAG has.
he gets just one side of the story, which is Mr. Claxton's, and of course it would be favorable to Mr. Claxton. So I ask the board to take into consideration the wishes of the victims. I ask that you not release them at this time, but should time be appropriate in the future, perhaps that would be revisited.
Mr. Rinaldo, you spoke of a criminal contempt case.
Yes.
How, I'm trying to see where this criminal contempt case comes in with this, with the custody case. Can you kind of enlighten me and give me a little bit better understanding?
So Ms. Kavnis, the mother of the minor child, is subject to criminal contempt proceedings based on her violating family court orders. So that is a separate case being prosecuted by my section related to Ms. Kavnis. Mr. Claxton is not accused of contempt in that particular case. However, actions that Ms. Kavnis took in relation to Mr. Claxton form the context and the basis for that case.
Wait, repeat that last part again.
So Ms. Kavnis using other people to reach out to the victims, such as the gentleman here today, and the inmate who came to the home of the victim, those all form the underlying basis for some of the contempt claims against Ms. Kavnis. So Mr. Claxton is a player in that background, but he's not directly charged or accused of contempt.
And the criminal. So there's a criminal contempt case that's against
Ms. Kavnis.
Ms. Kavnis, but there's no allegation of Mr. Claxton as the suspect in the criminal contempt case, because it's the court orders, the ones that's violating is his girlfriend is where the violation is actually occurring. So in that criminal contempt case, where there's, you say there's violations of a court order to actually appear, that she's violated several court orders to not have contact, are there threats in that contact, or is it just you're not to have any contact, and there's contact to chat, contact to talk, or contact, or is it, are there threats of danger or harm being inflicted upon someone?
I'm not fully familiar with the case file number. I do not believe there are threats of physical violence against the victim, and I believe he would be better able to speak to that. These are more so her violations of court orders.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I'll see if the board has any additional questions. Mr. Quinones.
If this was the case, I'm sure it would be the charge you were pursuing, but did a conspiracy, was a conspiracy considered in this investigation? Just to gain an understanding of the criminal contempt case?
Regarding the contempt case?
Yes.
I don't believe so.
Okay.
That case was solely submitted through a judicial officer to our office to look at this case.
Thank you for clarifying.
Thank you
for that. Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Before we ask you to go in, I do have a question for Mr. Claxton before we finish up. Whenever you want.
Yeah, I'll just ask a question of the attorney before
you go. Yes, sir.
Certainly. Please forgive me for asking this question to,
keep to
both of you, and neither one of you have to respond to it. You are the other attorney from the Attorney General's office. I guess I'm a little naive, totally naive. You're from the same agency, and yet y'all are not speaking the same language. I'm trying to figure out what's going on here. As I say, you don't have to answer that. Just something that struck me as being very interesting.
Well, I believe we're here in different capacities. I'm here on behalf of my role with the office, and I believe Mr. Todd said he's here as an individual and as the person who's been here since this case was in its inception. So.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, Ms. Clinton. Yes.
All right, Mr. Claxton, we're going to come back to you. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to see if there's anything else you'd like to present to the board as we come up on a conclusion. And then we also have some board members who would like to ask you some questions, sir.
Okay. You want to speak now?
Yes, sir.
In regards to Mr. Henshaw, it appears that Mr. Judy asked his statement at the revocation hearing, he asked that I be not allowed to have any contact with lower counties. His whole thing there is to make sure that I don't wish, he doesn't understand that I'm not going to, right? But that's his whole thing, is to keep me in prison, keep me away from Mark Anderson, and I'm assisting her with her custody drills, which I'm not doing, but I actually will go to the board explaining that. I also present that with the board of anything that have been that concerning, hearing, having a conversation with this fellow, this Jerry fellow, on June 15th at 17 in the morning, because he was at his office in June 15th, his home was in North Phoenix. There is a question for the claims on the board that I have, that I presented to you. The court, which is in the federal, to ensure the proof that two of them is taken, not in this one. As far as contacting your attorneys, I'm not aware of, I do not understand. There's no way to help me. I stepped into a custody case, I had no idea how vicious custody cases were. And I had no idea, I didn't know, but I knew nothing about it. So I was not going to have any money. There's nothing I can do for her. She needs somebody that can actually help her. As far as David Campbell and Fred Lambert, they're friends, and but I'm not going to get involved in actually anything legally. You know, they have custody or that type of thing. So I, my thing is, I'm going to live with my sister. On her property anyway, and what they call a rental house. So we're going to use house or young work, whatever, not doing serious consideration after getting off the bill of going to North Dakota, where they're doing their fracking and stuff, and working for a couple of years trying to set up with the connect and buying property. And not a house, just property. With my name in my life, I mean, it just can't. That's all I really want to do. I want to help my sister and my brother-in-law while I'm there. I want to see if I can get their first bag, my help can get their first bag in order. I'm good with accomplished partner, I'm a plumber, and I was something about electrical stuff in part of the way that has a product here professional. But to get the first item, they were fine, but they didn't afford to have help with the change. So we can make a lot of repair of it, but that's not a problem. It's my parents' old place. It's, there were three houses on it. Way over one, and I would be able to, my friend, the one, I don't know, it's called a little house. It's a little guest house. It was a one bedroom, one house. That's where I'm staying. And work around it, and probably sell it, and use it for the house, or for the building. It's, I did it before. I can make $100 per day. Some of them, I don't do anything. And, you know, I go to 30. I shop at Savers, and I work with them.
Okay, Mr. Claxton? Yes. Let's see if the board has any additional questions for you, sir. Mr. Newell.
Yes, sir. Mr. Claxton, this is going back to the warrant that he incarcerated
Do you know this Jeffrey Wilson that they were referring to?
I do not. He was related, I think he's a member of Laura Adams. He had a few to her house one time. I didn't know who he was. And I met him, and that was it.
Okay. All right, thank you, sir.
All right, Mr. Claxton, the board is going to go into discussion. We're coming up on a conclusion of your hearing. While the board's in discussion, sir, I'm going to ask you to remain on the line so that you can hear the discussion actually taking place. However, I need you to remain silent while the board's in discussion. We will make a determination at that time what the board's going to actually do, okay? The board's now going into discussion. We've heard this case before when we actually were involved in the actual revocation of Mr. Claxton's thing. I do want to go through that in September of 2013, Mr. Claxton was released on home arrest. He came back before the board one other time after that. And then he was eventually placed on parole in October of 2014. At the time that he was revoked in 2017, he had put in his application to come before this board for a hearing so that he could try to be removed off his parole. He was coming up before this board so that he could have an absolute discharge, and he had an absolute discharge application that came in. This is a situation that all involved a female that he was dating, Ms. Cabras. He was dating, and it involved the custody of a young minor child, and I believe that the custody situation was between Ms. Cabras, who Mr. Claxton was dating, and her daughter and son-in-law, I believe it was, if my memory corrects me correctly. He was revoked at that time because someone had went and approached them in reference to the custody hearing. So I went back through here and reviewed this case, and I understand the custody hearings can be ugly, and that there's a violation that has to be adhered to when that's done. And this is a custody hearing amongst a family that's been there. I do think that Mr. Claxton has been reincarcerated, and he does understand that he's not to have any contact with the victims. There's been no indication since he's been incarcerated that there was any contact that was made by himself. There was some allegation that there has been a order of protection placed on two of the individuals who are friends of his, Mr. Lambert and Mr. Campbell, says that they contacted a minor child, but during that contact there's no information that says that there was any threats or any indication of any harm being done to him. There is a currently a court proceeding that's going on against Mr. Cabras. However, according to the attorney, that proceeding does not involve Mr. Claxton, but it may involve some of his friends. It just involves the not any threats of violence that appears to be any threats of violence or harm, but continual contacts and violation of a court order by the court itself, which is come there. I think that Mr. Claxton has been reincarcerated, that he's been put back in prison, that he fully understands that he's not to be involved in this custody hearing or have any contact with the victim or in this Mr. Engelstein. With this, I think that I'm supportive of Mr. Claxton being re-released, as he did do good on his home arrest. He did good on his parole to the point to where he was out for almost 4 years when he hadn't gotten in any trouble, and was actually going to appear before this board that same month for an absolute discharge on his parole, and he had gotten up until that point a good recommendations from his PO at that time. So I'm just actually supportive of Mr. Claxton getting back out. I don't think he's a threat to the family. I don't think he's a threat to doing harm to anyone out there. I believe he's about 71 years old at this time now, that he's not going to be harming anyone, a threat to the community. I do understand the situation with the custody hearing that's actually going on at this time. However, I'm supportive of Mr. Claxton being out. I'm just and I'm open for discussion with the rest of the colleagues, since he's been on home arrest, and he was on home arrest for a year, and he did good on home arrest. I'm just debating whether he should go back out on home arrest or just regular parole. We use home arrest for a status on home arrest, just to try to keep everybody in line and make sure that they're able to adhere to the new environment that they're actually going to be in. He does have support. He does have a place to stay. He has his sister here, and he does have support from his sister as well as a place. And he has the ability to receive SSI as well as, you know, still able to do some work to earn some income. However, I'm willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues at this time. Mr. Quinones.
I will begin by saying that, thank you, Mr. Johnson. This is an interesting, if not awkward, case, and as I'm trying to gather everything, and it seems like it's got different facets. To simplify, I'm not seeing him as a threat, and I personally don't think it rises to the level of him remaining incarcerated. I recognize how he got here. I think there was some righteous decision making as far as the concerns about what was happening in this dynamic. But as I stated earlier, it's awkward, you know, hard to get your arms around. But I would be supportive of returning him to home arrest.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. It is a very confusing case. I mean, there are so many angles to it, I don't quite get it. But I'm kind of with you. I haven't really heard what the threat is. I don't perceive the threat. And so I'm not sure whether I would do home arrest or parole. That would just be my input, I guess.
Mr. Neal.
Yes, I'm thinking down the line, too, and actually, if you looked at the dynamics of the entire situation, Mr. Claxton had done over a year in jail for violating the order against harassment, which is far greater sentence than any judge I've ever seen would give somebody for the same similar type of violation. I don't understand getting in trouble is violation of parole, but he was out 4 or 5 years and didn't really have any problems. And also in this, I agree, I don't see a threat as such, other than, you know, to concern of the victims. And I understand that child custody cases are vicious, and they can get really nasty, but generally verbal back and forth, and court order for that. If the Phoenix Police Department feels that the violations can be had before he's been incarcerated or sufficient, they'll order to open the case and possibly refer it to prosecution. But I mean, I'm in favor of returning it to parole.
Okay. Any other comments coming from the board? I am going to just make one other comment. And Ms. Brightness, you have a comment. I'm sorry. At the time that Mr. Claxton was actually revoked, he was on regular parole and applying for an absolute discharge. As a matter of fact, he would have been coming within 30 days. He would have been coming before this board had it not been for this. I think that his status at the time that he was arrested was regular parole, and I would just like to see Mr. Claxton return to regular parole. He hadn't violated, he was doing good, he did good on home arrest, and he was on regular parole at the time, and actually it completed, like I said, to a degree where he was at a point of coming before this board for an absolute discharge, and had it been for not for this situation, he may have did that, but I do think he needs to be on a supervised parole, as if that is not necessary for him to be on home arrest. So I am going to make a motion to deny absolute discharge and deny home arrest, but grant Mr. Claxton back to the status that he was at the time that he was arrested, which was regular parole. That would be my motion.
Second. Agreed.
Agreed.
Disagree.
Okay, motion by myself. Second. Mr. Neal?
Agreed.
Yeah. Who's second? Mr. Neal?
Second. Yes, yeah, I second. I'm sorry.
Mr. Quinones. This is a doing this Rittenhouse. Disagree about the Dr. Wright. I was just looking at this. I'm going to have to read. The form doesn't have all the names on there, so
yeah.
It's an old form.
Apologize for that.
That's okay.
I think we got the ones for tomorrow, I think. I wrote them. So.
Okay. Mr. Claxton, the board has voted to deny you an absolute discharge or regular parole, I mean absolute discharge or home arrest, but grant you regular parole, sir. Do you, are you able to hear the conversation taking place amongst the board for your regular parole? There are some conditions for your general parole, sir, that you have to follow all mandatory DOC conditions and sanctions, needs assessments and referral counseling and vocational education, that you are not to drink any alcohol, that you will have random tests for drug and alcohol, no contact with the victim's family, and partake in any available program as directed by your parole officer. Sir, do you think that you could live with those conditions? And you do have the $65 parole fee that starts 60 days after your release.
Yes.
Do you think you can live with those conditions, sir?
Yes.
All right. So, sir, that is going to conclude your hearing at this time. I do want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity for appearing before this board, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.